Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. Listen, sometimes we just need to relaunch our life. If that pertains to you, you want to learn from the relaunch expert, Joel Bogus. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to the show today, Joel Bogus. He is an author and a speaker, and he is a podcast co-host of a very popular show, Relaunch Show is the title. So Joel, welcome.
Lynette, this is going to be so much fun. I've been looking forward to being on this show, and my gosh, congratulations, Lynette, because I'm a podcaster like you, so I take a peek at the iTunes ratings every now and then. And then when I do look at them, and say, boom, there's your show and your artwork. Motivate Me. I love it. Congratulations on the show, and thank you for making this resource available to people on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday basis.
Thank you so much for your enthusiasm and your support. It's really, you know, as a newer podcaster, however, we're approaching show number 50 coming up. So that's pretty exciting. But, you know, people probably don't realize about you that we're going to discover today is that you are one of the podcast gurus. So I can't wait for you to share your story, share your experiences about relaunching yourself and relaunching your life, because I know that I have so many listeners who are out there right now, and that's exactly what they want to do. They want to relaunch their lives, mm-hmm. or at least make it more exciting. So before we start the show, do you have a passage that's meaningful to you that you'd like to share?
Gosh, yeah, I do. And we today published episode 370 of the Relaunch Show. So as you can imagine, there have been many memorable quotes that have kind of been shared on our show. But one of the quotes that I've read early on, kind of in my career, that has always stuck with me is one by Roger Staubach. And if you're not quite familiar with who he is, you know, I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, and he was the backbone of the Dallas Cowboy football team when they were just winning game after game after game for years and years and years. And one of the things that Roger Staubach said is that there are no traffic jams along the extra mile. And what he meant by that is exactly how it sounds, that when you go the extra mile, like you do in this show, and like your listeners do in their business and with their family, well, you figured it out. There are no traffic jams there, because most people, for whatever reason, are not willing to go that extra mile to choose that lane. But you are, and your listeners are. And I think that quote is the most appropriate one that I can use right now.
I did realize that he is football. I did know that, but that's about as far as that went. But I do agree with you. Going the extra mile is key to success in so many different areas.
Sure.
And you know, I know your show is about relaunching your life.
Yes.
And for my listeners, some of them are doing that, and some of them could just go the extra mile every day for themselves in what we could term self-care, just to include something that makes their lives more exciting or, you know, more meaningful to wake up to each day.
Mm-hmm.
Joel, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can you define what relaunch means?
Sure. You know, episode number one of the Relaunch Show, it was a great episode. We interviewed Tim Sanders. And Tim Sanders is a phenomenal speaker. He wrote a book called Today We Are Rich, and he's done just some amazing things in the speaking world and also in the book writing world. And one of the things he said when I asked him about his relaunch and to share a little bit, he said, you know, Joel, relaunching – your life is actually healthy. And it's actually something that, we should all be in on a continual basis. You know, relaunching a part of your professional life, relaunching a part of your relational life, relaunching a part of your spiritual life, emotional life. Because what relaunching is, it's a sign of growth, and it's a healthy sign of growth. And then a few episodes after that, I actually had on Mark Sanborn, who wrote a fantastic book called The Fred Factor, and he's wrote a bunch of other books as well. And Sanborn talks about how, you know, reinventing or relaunching your life, basically he echoed the same thing that Sanders said. And he said, you know, it's something that we all strive to do because, and I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, we crave that variety. We all have a desire to want to do things a little bit different and a little bit better, giving ourselves some tweaks and some adjustments so that we can do things better that will bring us more fun, more fulfillment, and oftentimes more freedom and flexibility.
You know what I really love about what you just said is how you brought this to, you know, the spiritual level, the emotional level, not just about, you know, your work, your career, your job. It's the whole person and your relationships. I love that. I mean, I'm somebody who will be married 28 years in November.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I know you have an awesome marriage, you and Dr. Pei, your dentist co-host wife.
14 Correct. Years. So yeah. Halfway to where you are. We got married kind of late in life, but having a blast, not only married, but as you mentioned, doing this show together is so much fun.
Yeah. And my husband, even though I am the one on the mic, my husband does play a big role in this business too. And I love what you said about relaunching your relationship, because there are times that you have to say, well, hold up. Is this how it's going to be now? And reel things back in and make changes. And also, it made me really think too about how lots of times people, when we're young, we follow the modeling of our parents and we just kind of slide into the same life or lifestyle that our parents had, but we don't have to do that. And to know that you can relaunch yourself periodically when you need that change is really, to me, I love that idea. I mean, I do it. And matter of fact, I want to hear about the times that you relaunched yourself and your life. And then I'd like to share a couple that I did. So can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. And I really appreciate, again, you giving me the opportunity to talk about it. You know, I stepped away from corporate America in November 2006. And the relaunch that I had at that time needed to, for me, it was a professional relaunch, because I had kind of bumped around in corporate America for many, many years. And I couldn't quite find my fit. And so Pei and I, after many discussions, some heated fellowship from time to time, we decided that, you know, I needed to step out and relaunch and do my own thing, you know, build my own business, kind of stake my own claim, if you will. And that Christmas season of 2006 is pretty much when it happened. And I had, Lynette, I'm probably going to start crying when I tell this story, but I actually had my very first speaking gig when I could even call myself a speaker. And it was right around Christmas time, and I was allowed to go and give the morning devotional at Zig Ziglar's office. Now, I know you recognize the name Zig Ziglar.
Wow. My eyes just, your first speaking experience, and then you say Zig Ziglar.
Right, right. And it was an amazing opportunity for me. Every Monday morning, of course, Zig is now passed on, but they still do the Monday morning devotionals every single Monday at Zig's office, and I get the opportunity to speak at those. But back in 2006, you know, Zig was still there, and I showed up and got ready to give my presentation. And sitting on the very front row with this little flip steno book was the master of motivation, Zig Ziglar. And he was taking notes, and he was just right there, you know, throughout the whole presentation. And that kind of set the stage, if you will, for that relaunch, which is, you know, still, gosh, it's 2015 now. It's still unfolding itself.
You know what I love so much about that, about the fact that he was taking notes, is you know that somebody like him, it just should really make you understand that we are all the students and we are all teachers. And
exactly.
He was allowing you to teach him. And I think people involved in motivation, they feel that way. You know, entrepreneurs in general also feel that way, that we just look at each other with the opportunity to learn.
Absolutely. Let me tell you a real quick Ziglar story, can I?
Sure, of course.
It's my favorite Ziglar story probably ever. But after the presentation, and by the way, the title of my speech that I presented that morning was Someone was Praying. And it was a phenomenal speech. It talked about how I had a near-death experience when I was five, when I fell off that bridge and I lost so much blood that they weren't even able to start an IV on my little five-year-old arm, and how it took some heroic medical and divine intervention to get me to come back. But that's another story for another show. But after I concluded my presentation, you know, I was packing up all my stuff, and then I kind of walked up to him, and I knew Zig a little bit, but I just kind of tugged on his sleeve, and I said, "Mr. Ziglar, can we get a photo together?" And he said, you know, "Absolutely, of course we can." So we took our places. I put my arm around him. He put his arm around me, and I gave my camera to his assistant, snapped a quick photo, handed it back to me. And then I started folding it up, putting it away in my case. And Mr. Ziglar looked at me and he said in his deep, deep Southern accent, and I'm not going to do the accent, but he said, "You know, is that one of those digital cameras?" And I said, "Well, yes, sir, Mr. Ziglar, it sure is." This was 2006. And Mr. Ziglar, in classic Zig style, paused and then said, "You know what? I like those cameras. You know why?" And I said, "No, sir, I sure don't." And he said, "No negatives."
Ooh, that is hysterical.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
You know, Joel, when I was about the age of five, maybe a little younger, was pushed into a pool, into the deep end by my sister. She was not much older than I was. Maybe she was five and I was four, something like that. But I also had an experience where I specifically remember kind of watching myself from afar underneath the water.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, they got me out. They gave me CPR and all that kind of stuff, whatever they do to get the water out of your lungs and all that kind of thing. But I haven't thought about that in a really long time. And I just, you know, you always wonder what drives you to do what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think some of those things are obvious and conscious, and some of those things are just in your subconscious that—
No question.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Wow, to meet Zig Ziglar, and more than once even, that I think that's great. I'm sure your speech was probably pretty fantastic if he was taking notes. Sounds like a really interesting topic. So 2006, you were in corporate. What did you do for corporate?
At that time when I walked away, I was working in corporate finance. I was working at Morgan Stanley for about, I don't know, a year and a half, a couple of years. Let me back up just a little bit, if you don't mind. I spent the lion's share of the 90s behind the mic doing traditional radio. I was on air, and I was also in front of the camera doing television. And then I've stepped away from that industry. And I believe it was 97. It was actually Christmas Eve 97, if I remember correctly. And then I bumped around a little bit in corporate America. I actually put myself through graduate school, getting an MBA and also a master's in counseling. And I just tried to find my place. And then it wasn't until, you know, later, 2006, 2007, along with help from my wife, God, and many people that were pouring into me, when I could get back to where I needed to be.
That's a lot of relaunching that you did right there in that little pocket of time, though.
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one thing that I haven't been intimidated by. That if you don't quite get it figured out completely the first time, you know, relaunch. You can try again. You know, as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show, it's a sign of growth.
I agree. I mean, you know, graduated high school. 8 days later, moved from New Jersey to California, got married a year and a half later, I think. And then I did crazy things. Like I had this karaoke business and I did that and was great. I was able to be home during the day every day with my daughter. I worked a couple nights a week. It was so much fun what we did. When I was 30, I went to college, became a high school English teacher. When I was 40, I got my master's in, you know, an MFA in creative writing. And then I made this jump. But, you know, starting a karaoke business, nobody even knew what that was when we started, you know. So I'm a fan of taking those risks and just mm-hmm. believing that it's going to work out. That was a big jump for you, though. And it seems like a natural progression, especially when you talk about getting your MBA and then going to school. Also, I think you said a master's in counseling. Mm-hmm. Like it was a natural kind of transition for you. But did you have any hesitations or challenges that you had to move past during that process?
Well, yeah, of course I did. Like everyone does, there are some self-doubts. There's doubting of your value, your potential, your possibilities. But, you know, pouring into the lives of other people has always been strong in my spirit. And I've known for a while that my purpose or my mission or calling or whatever term that you want to use has always been to inspire, empower, and to equip people. I've always kind of known that. I just had to find the best fit, professional fit, for me to do that.
How do you recommend? My listeners are thinking right now, they're sitting there thinking, sure. Well, I think I'd really like to go do this, but
okay.
You know, I have self-doubts, I have fear, things are holding me back.
Well, we all do.
Right, assumptions and interpretations of things that, you know, people believe in me, all those types of things. What advice would you give them just specifically about that?
Sure, and that's a great question. One of the first things that I do with the people that I've worked one-on-one with is I have a little one-page worksheet. And in fact, that's available on my website. We can make that link available in the show notes or the blog article that accompanies this episode. But and it's five simple questions. And what I recommend to all of the people that I work with, either in a group situation or one-on-one, is they take these five little questions, plop them in an email, and then email them off to your friends, your family, your loved ones, people that will tell you the truth about what they see in you.
Wow.
And what happens over and over and over again, you know where this is going. The responses that the people get back oftentimes blow them away, because what happens is the people that are around you, they see things in you. They see strengths. They see gifts. They see your desires within you that you have either not recognized or haven't assigned value to in your life. And once you have that knowledge, the knowledge that of what other people see in you, well, that can take the conversation about future possibilities into an exciting direction, as you can imagine.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel just gave you some excellent, excellent advice and a great resource, because I believe that so much. I know this because when I decided to get into podcasting and resign from teaching and do this, you know, and I started slowly by telling a few people in private messages in Facebook, their responses were so overwhelming for me. I was so flattered, and it truly helped push me and propel me with confidence in that I was doing the right thing. You know, people saying, we've always seen this in you. You are like this.
It's amazing. Can I tell you a story that actually happened?
Yes, absolutely.
I was working with this one lady. Her first name is Kim. And Kim worked in a doctor's office, and it was a highly toxic environment for her. Nothing wrong with working in a doctor's office, but for her, it just wasn't a good use and fit of her God-given gifts and the value that she had to bring to the world. And I basically went through this simple little process with her. I said, you know, let's ask other people. Let's find out what other people have seen within you. And then the responses that she got back, they talked about her wonderful ability to, you know, to talk, to relate, to communicate, to really build a bridge between her and other moms. And right. And to empower, to encourage, and to bring hope to young moms in particular.
Joel, that is such a specific niche right there. People gave her this specific niche.
They did. And when we were talking, just she and I in conversation, she just said, you know, I've always done that. I've just never really thought there was anything to this. And that's my point exactly. See, sometimes, Lynette, we're so married to how we're woven that we just don't see the value that we're bringing to other people because it's a part of us.
Right. I think we downplay it too.
Oh, of course we do.
You know, and
of course we do. I do it. You do it. Our listeners do it. Not intentionally, but because we don't see what other people see.
Right. No, I agree.
That's why we need other people. Pei and I talk about three ingredients that you need for any relaunch to be successful. And that is you need to have your relaunch resources. And you know what that is. You need to surround yourself with the best books that you can, the best video training that you can, the best podcasts like Motivate Me and Entrepreneur on Fire and Relaunch and Solo Hour, you know, the best resources for your relaunch. But you also have to have your relaunch relationships intact. And of course, you know what those are. Those are the people that know you, that like you, that trust you, and that will also tell you the truth about what they see in you, what you're good at, and also what you're not good at, which is great information to know, because if you have that understanding of what you're good at and also what you're not good at, well, you don't have to continue to bang your head against the wall trying to, you know, learn algebra if math is just not something that's kind of woven into who you are and being able to solve those kind of problems.
Did you do a background check on me? Because algebra is my problem.
Algebra continues to be a problem.
Yeah, for me. That's because we're right-brainers.
One of my proudest accomplishments when I was working on my undergraduate is that I never had to take college algebra. I found a way around it.
One of my proudest accomplishments was that I taught myself algebra 1 and 2 enough to pass the placement exam for college so I didn't have to take the remedial classes.
One other proud accomplishment that I have, and I to this day tell my wife how proud I am of this. I got a B in statistics. I took statistics instead of college algebra, and it was a B in the summer school of statistics. So that's kind of impressive, right? Because it's accelerated.
Joel, I'm pretty sure we're twins. My statistics professor called me at home to tell me that I got an A on the final, which earned me a B for the class.
But here's why I got a B. Because the girl I was dating at the time gave me her notes from statistics, and it was the same TA, and she used the exact same material. So basically, I didn't learn statistics, but I learned how to draw whatever I needed to draw and how to make the little squiggly lines and what numbers went in what blanks and whatnot. So test taking, yeah, I got that down.
Oh my gosh. Now listen, you said 300 and how many episodes aired?
370 was today.
Okay, so you have 370 episodes. I know this is going to be a tough question, but is there one that is most memorable to you about relaunching?
Yes. We interviewed the originator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, Jack Canfield. And he was phenomenal. He was such a wonderful, wonderful interview. And I told Jack, and it would have been easy for me to be a little bit starstruck, by having someone of his level of success on the show and all that. But, you know, I stuck with the format. And what I generally do, Lynette, is I generally ask our guests to talk about the relaunch that has been the most significant or the most transformational for them. And then we just kind of unfold the story from there. So people are at least able to start the show kind of zeroed in on one particular relaunch. And my gosh, we were probably, 60 to maybe 120 seconds into the show, and maybe a little bit more than that. And I asked Jack, I said, Jack, what was the toughest time for you, to build up to kick off that relaunch? And he said, right at the beginning of the show, he said, it was my divorce, Joel. And he talked about how that was a $25 million relaunch. And he joked about it on my show, but he was dead serious. He said, you know, my ex-wife got a good attorney and I got to keep my job. From there, I had to rebuild pretty much everything. And that story, well, first of all, the vulnerability and the trust that that man had just to share that, because he didn't know me other than what he probably learned in some of the emails that we shared with him and a few other connection points. But you know, he was just willing to lay it out and say, you know what, this happened and I had to come back from it.
What's really great about what he did though is, you know, the thing is, if you commit to be on a show, mm-hmm. especially one that's motivational in nature, and yours is also motivational in nature to me, you know, to commit to the show is committing in all good consciousness to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. to be real and to be transparent. So good for him. And I mean, he's got to be a feeling guy to write, you know, to put together books like Chicken Soup for the Soul. I have to tell you, as a teacher, an English teacher specifically, I had a library of Chicken Soup for the Soul books that I would highly request that certain students read during certain times. A lot of my kids that didn't like to read a lot, I would say, listen, just do me a favor, read two of these. And, you know, some of them were basic skills students. So to get them to read two of those short stories that were meaningful and helpful, one of my guests, Darnell Denzel Williams, was one of my students when he was a freshman, and he was in one of those basic skills classes. He asked to borrow one of my Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and he never returned it. We were laughing about it on the show because what he did was when he wrote his book, he wrote me a very nice note about how he never returned my Chicken Soup for the Soul book, and I hope that you'll take this one as payment.
Nice.
It was awesome. I would love to get him on my show, Joel. So if you ever chat with him, put in a good word for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think that you have learned about yourself in this relaunching process?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that I have learned a lot about my resiliency. And I don't say that in a braggadocious or in a prideful manner, but it's the resiliency I have to just stay in the game, because you have to these days. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, or if you're a work from home parent, or you're an empty nester that needs to start again with confidence, you've got to keep yourself in the game. And as I was growing through my own recovery, I came out of my coma when I was 6, went in my coma when I was 5.
Out of my coma, Joel, I didn't realize that you were in a coma for all this time. How long were you in a coma for?
3 weeks, and 3 weeks in ICU afterwards.
And you missed your birthday.
I did. I fell on my grandfather's birthday, missed mine, and then woke up in March. My birthday's in February. Wow. So fell in January, woke up in March. Anyhow, but... and I could go on and on about the accident and the recovery and the scars that left on me and in my family. But what I learned is that I needed to work a little bit harder in the recovery process, because a lot happened. I had to relaunch, if you will, a lot of things when I was 6, 7, 8, and so forth. So what that has done is that has built within me an awesome amount of stick-to-itiveness. And that's something that I've kind of learned and relearned about myself, is that, you know what, I just got to stay in the game and it'll work out.
Yeah, it sounds like you've gotten great lessons about that your whole life, and you've seen the achievement that can come from that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you shared with my audience a couple different books, and I will include those books in my show notes. But do you have another one that is a favorite for you?
Absolutely. Becoming a Category of One. Again, Becoming a Category of One. Joe Calloway is the author of that book, and he is a phenomenal a speaker, and he is a friend and mentor of mine, and he's just the greatest guy that I know. And I have read that book over and over and over again. And it is it's a business book, but it's written in such a way where pretty much anyone can benefit from it, because it's about, you know, becoming that category of one, separating yourself from a category of many, you know, and becoming, you know, a podcast that's in a category of one, an author that's in a category of one, a speaker that's in a category of one. And the benefit of that is obvious. Then there's no comparison. There's no, well, she's just like that, or he talks about stuff similar to this other person. But no, this is the person for this particular niche, a need, cause.
Is this where you got the idea of world domination for when you launched your book?
No, I don't think so. You know what? Let me back up a little bit. I've read that book so many times, and I'm a voracious reader.
Because it sounds like that's the theme, you know, being your own person, standing out, going for first place, being the best at what you do.
Sure. Well, I think that's just woven into my character.
Okay.
However, I've read the Category of One book several times, and many, many other books, usually personal growth and development. And they all just kind of blend together and become this rock solid, you know, rainbow, if you will.
I love that idea, is, you know, when you forget where you got what you got, because it just becomes who you are.
Right. I like that.
You know, you forget who said that or where did I read this, because you just believe it so wholeheartedly that it becomes your person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Joel, this part of the show, we're going to pick up the pace. We have three questions that, to me, they're the most important questions on my podcast, because to me, they're the three steps to get people moving. The first one would be envision, second, explore, and then execute.
Got it.
So if somebody can envision relaunching their lives in some capacity, how would you recommend that they do that? What do they need to see for themselves?
Sure. That's a great question. And I'll try to nutshell this as quickly as possible. I think having a vision, or envisioning a better life, is sometimes kind of intimidating for people, and might be a little bit daunting, because I think sometimes people with the best of intentions think that, well, gosh, having a vision, well, gosh, doesn't that mean I have to have like this full feature length documentary kind of playing on the back of my forehead that shows everything from the very start to the very finish? And you know, frankly, Lynette, I don't know if God reveals things that way to people. And if he does, I haven't worked with that person yet.
Right.
However, what I do know is that sometimes God will give us little sneak peeks, little glimpses of previews and coming attractions. You know, sometimes they might happen while we're, you know, shaving in the morning, or while when we're getting ready for work, or when we're sitting at a stoplight. Things of that nature. And that's generally how I enter into that conversation with the people that I work with. And, you know, people start to remember some of the little glimpses or reoccurring glimpses that they've seen time and time again. And that helps us start the conversation. So to your point, how do you envision, you know, or how do you begin to do that, make it part of your life? Ask yourself, or, you know, pay attention to some of the previews that are showing up in your life, and see if there's anything to some of those peaks that you're seeing.
Okay. And then to explore that further, what would the next step be?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. I think I would have a conversation with someone about this, someone that you trust, someone that you can share your thoughts with, your ideas, your feelings, someone that will provide a safe environment for you. There is incredible opportunities that can happen in a safe environment. And just see if anything goes, if anything can become of it. And pay attention when you're exploring, pay attention to the way your body responds. You know, is it something that turns your stomach? Well, if it is, then that might not be the right thing for you. Or if it's something that, you know, makes your heart race, makes your breathing get faster, something that excites you, well, then that might be a very, very good clue for you.
Okay. And then to execute.
I always recommend people take immediate action. Immediate action. One of my former guests, her name's Mel Robbins, and she wrote a book called Stop Saying You're Fine. And one of the things that Mel recommends in her book is that we all adopt the 5-second rule. And the 5-second rule is exactly what it sounds. When you have an idea, take immediate action. Because if you allow more than 5 seconds to pass, well, then you're going to, your brain's going to step in and some rules, either real rules or pretend rules, are going to kind of pop up in your mind and start blocking your way. So take immediate action. My friend and former guest, Larry Winget, says it this way. He says, you know, Joel, you can't steer a parked car. So take a left. And if that's the wrong way to go, well, you're going to find out pretty quickly.
That's really good advice. I'm struggling with something right now. And I keep saying that I'm going to put a status out there or reach out to somebody that I know that could probably help me, because I think it'd be really valuable for me to have a social media intern right now, just somebody that can help me out with the marketing, and they would get experience and I would learn and it would take some of my burden, but I let that 5 seconds pass and then I just don't do it. So you're right. I need to just act. And like you said, if it's not the right direction, go right, but at least be moving.
Absolutely. You can't steer a parked car. And don't live your life stuck in neutral, which unfortunately so many people do that. And then they end up with a life that's only half lived.
Right, because next thing you know, a day turns into a week, which turns into a month, and then you're at a year, and then it's a decade, and you've been doing the same thing for 10 years and feeling the same way and wanting more for yourself.
One of the things that my wife and I did, and we're far from perfect, and of course we have our own challenges and obstacles in different areas in our life. But something that we try to remember to do is to employ that 5-second rule. And when Peg gets stuck on something, or when I get stuck on something, you know, looking at your spouse or your partner, your lover, your prayer partner, whomever that somebody else is for you. And, you know, just saying 5-second rule and smiling when you say it. And that right there is often enough to spur a quick decision.
I like that. I like it a lot. So what closing advice would you give us today?
Yeah, closing advice is this. And thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for the invitation to be on this wonderful, wonderful show. Closing advice is that I think we have a responsibility to listen to our voice, our inner voice. I think we have a responsibility to ourselves. I think personally that we have a responsibility to God or our higher power, whatever name you might use to call that. And I also think we have a responsibility to our loved ones to not only listen to our voice, but to also follow it. Because when you are at your absolute best, doing what it is that you love, doing what it is that excites you and that moves you, well, not only are you going to do your absolute best work and you're going to be at your absolute strongest, but you know what? Everyone's going to benefit. And wow, isn't that what everyone wants for everyone else? To be at their best so that everyone can benefit.
I think so.
Me too.
So Joel, if possible, I'd like to make you a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate support system so people can reach out to you there. But is there another avenue that my listeners can find you?
Sure. Very good. I appreciate that. Yeah. RelaunchShow.com is our website. That's where all of our shows are and a lot of our resources. But also, you can tweet me, just at Joel Bagas is my Twitter handle. I'm pretty active on Twitter as well.
Okay, now this is the part of the show where I give a go-do for our listeners. And okay. I would like you to do that for me today because I really loved what you talked about with sending five questions out to people they know to get a better reflection of how other people see them. So Joel, can you direct them on how to do that?
Absolutely. And why don't I do this? I'll actually send you that handy dandy worksheet. You can include that in your show notes. You can put that on your website. You can send that out to your listeners. Absolutely. No strings attached. You can use that to empower the people that listen to Motivate Me. Is that okay?
Beautiful. And what do you call that?
I just call it, you know, my reaching out worksheet, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're reaching out.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. That's your go-do today. We are going to make sure that you have the reaching out worksheet. It'll be in my show notes. It'll be on my webpage and in the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook group. So take Joel's advice, reach out, and go do something awesome. So Joel, I just want to thank you so much. It was really a great honor for me to have you come on my show. Like I said at the start, you are a podcast guru, and I consider myself not so newbie anymore, but definitely new in the game. And it was really so much fun to talk to you today and for you to give my listeners so much great information.
Oh, Lynette, I appreciate you having me on. This has been a blast. And just thank you for that opportunity. And once again, congratulations. This show and you, Lynette, are making a tremendous difference.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I suggest everybody take a listen to Relaunch and go ahead and give him a review, subscribe, and enjoy everything that Joel and Dr. Pei have to offer. Listeners, remember, you're the ones who motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.